The Last Word with Matt Cooper on Today FM.
Will we start with Stormy Daniels or Rex Tillerson? I will start with Rex Tillerson, the man fired by Donald Trump today. Let's hear a little bit of the American president before heading to California this morning for his first trip to that state since he became president, telling reporters about his decision to fire Rex Tillerson as Secretary of State via Twitter.
Rex and I have been talking about this for a long time. We got along actually quite well, but we disagreed on things. When you look at the Iran deal, I think it's terrible. I guess he felt it was okay. I wanted to either break it or do something, and he felt a little bit differently. So we were not really thinking the same. With Mike Pompeo, we have a very similar thought process. I think it's going to go very well. Rex is a very good man. I like Rex a lot. I really appreciate his commitment and his service. And I'll be speaking to Rex over a long period of time. I made that decision by myself. Rex wasn't, as you know, in this country. I made the North Korea decision with consultation from many people, but I made that decision by myself. I've always, right from the beginning, from day one, I've gotten along well with Mike Pompeo. And frankly, I get along well with Rex, too. And, you know, I wish Rex a lot of good things. I think he's going to do, I think he's going to be very happy. I think Rex will be much happier now. But I really appreciate his service. But with Mike, we've had a very good chemistry right from the beginning.
And of course, the point being made by many people is that the first Tillerson knew he'd been fired is when he read it on Twitter. Yes, Marion McCone, of course, Tillerson, a few months ago, there were suggestions he was going to be fired not long after he had reportedly called Trump an effing moron. But then Donald Trump said suggestions that he was going to fire Tillerson were fake news being invented by his enemies. Turns out they were right, weren't they?
They were. Look, Matt, Rex Tillerson has been on death watch for possibly 6 months now. Everybody knew he was being painfully put out the door. And I think honestly, in a way, Donald Trump did put a lot of... he certainly put Rex Tillerson out of his misery. But this was... he had no credibility. A lot of this is Rex Tillerson's own fault. He was a terrible Secretary of State. He went around the world looking permanently miserable. The Department of State absolutely despised him. The whole place was hollowed out. He never fought for them. He took a huge budget cut. He really wasn't a good choice. And he was always... he just seemed miserable. He was complaining about not getting enough sleep, about not feeling well. He needed a holiday. You know, he was a bad choice. Now, whether or not Mike Pompeo will be a better choice remains to be seen. But I think you have to allow Donald Trump to choose the staff that he wants. And I think the main problem here is that the way he fired Rex Tillerson was so undignified, so unpresidential, so cowardly, and so Trump, you know, to do it by Twitter. This is the second most senior position in the administration. It's next to the president, really, in terms of prestige and profile. So to do it that way, it was really a cowardly and sort of really indecent thing to do. But having said that, as I said, he doesn't get on with Rex Tillerson. He never really did. Rex Tillerson didn't get on with the Department of State mainly because, as I said, he brought in teams of consultants who took a business approach to foreign policy, who advised him on a business end. While, you know, I mean, the number of experts who have been let go or resigned in the last year is just appalling. The most recent one was Joseph Hun, who was the most senior expert on North Korea. They have no ambassador in South Korea. They have no expertise left on North Korea. And as I say, this all happened on Tillerson's watch. Mike Pompeo, Trump at least likes him. He may do a better job.
Okay, but Carl Thomas, what about the bad manners of firing somebody by Twitter?
Well, there's a dispute about that, Matt. That Trump says that he told him on Friday, and a spokesman for Tillerson, who has subsequently been fired just a couple of hours ago, a lot of firings going on here,
yes.
Glad I have a job, says that, you know, it wasn't that way either. So the way things work in Washington, people leak certain things that make them seem better or their opponents seem worse. So nobody knows the exact truth. But look, I think what happened here is this. Trump was forced to accept a lot of people that he wasn't comfortable with just to partially assuage the establishment when he came into office 14 months ago. And now he's putting, as Marion suggested, his own people that he feels more comfortable with in positions. He said he and Tillerson had disagreements over foreign policy. Rex Tillerson was the chairman of Exxon. He didn't report to anybody. He told people what to do. So I think it was kind of uncomfortable for him for it to take orders from the president, especially when he had a different mindset, as the president said, in worldview.
However, as well, though, Cal, Tillerson yesterday condemned Russia for its involvement in the nerve gas attack in Salisbury in England against a former Russian spy and his daughter. Now, Donald Trump today, and I'm going to quote it, right? He said, "It sounds to me like it would be Russia based on all of the evidence they have. Theresa May is going to be speaking to me today. As soon as we get the facts straight, if we agree with them, we will condemn Russia." If they agree with the facts, that's a pretty hefty caveat, isn't it?
Yeah, that's pretty bad. That would be like saying, well, you know, we need to investigate the ultimate role of the Nazis because we can't jump to conclusions. Yeah, I mean, that's just stupid. I mean, Putin's fingerprints are all over this, just as his fingerprints, or at least his henchmen's fingerprints, were over attempts, as amateurish as they may have been, to interfere with the 2016 election, although there's been no evidence, as the House Intelligence Committee Republicans at least have said, that anything was changed in the election outcome. So, yeah, I don't think there's any doubt about this. This is typical Russian behavior. This goes back to the Cold War. This goes back all the way to Brezhnev and before him. This is the way the old communists used to do it, poison their enemies.
Okay, but Donald Trump doesn't seem particularly strong in taking issue with them. Back to you, Marion McKeown. Could Tillerson's firing, the timing of it, be in any way linked to the latest developments in the Stormy Daniels affair to get our attention away from it?
Well, I don't know what would give you that idea, Matt, quite honestly. I mean, really, because today Stormy Daniels' lawyer, Michael Avenatti, who's a media player par excellence, I mean, he would rival Trump in that department, gave Trump a deadline of midday to either accept, to basically give him a bank account to which he could return the Stormy Daniels payment. It's a patent gimmick, of course. You know, Trump was never going to give him a bank account and say, yes, please return the money. She spoke. But it was a stunt that would have had the media's eyes on the deadline coming and going, and whether Trump did anything or whether he didn't. And this, of course, blew everything else out of the water. And, you know, it also, like, as Cal just mentioned about the Russian poisoning in London, I mean, this Trump's response is kind of appalling, because, Britain is the US's oldest ally. They're a member of NATO. You know, you have to stand with your allies and say, well, if we agree to it, we might condemn it. It's just wrong. So I think that Tillerson's firing has kind of given Trump a bit of breathing space on that one, or so it would seem. And it's also given him, there's a big election happening today, a very important by-election in Pennsylvania. The Republican candidate, who looks like an absolute dead cert to win this, it's a really strong Trump area, now looks like he may be beaten, or that will be a very, very close race. So there are other things that Trump would prefer people took their eyes off and their minds off. And I think Stormy Daniels, though, you're right, is probably number one.
Stormy Daniels, though, Cal, I mean, it seems that she may have snookered Donald Trump to an extent. He gives her back the money. She goes on national television for an interview this weekend, telling all about their alleged relationship. He doesn't give back the money, or doesn't accept the money back. And it looks like he has something to hide, that he's terrified of letting her talk.
Yeah, well, Marion's right. This is great showbiz. I mean, this is what lawyers do, and I think he's been put in a difficult position. But there are other lawyers that are trying to keep the interview that she's already done with 60 Minutes from airing. That hasn't been aired yet. But look, as I write in my column today, when you start listening to and believing a so-called porn star in the arena of politics, you've really hit the bottom of the barrel. Trump's opponents haven't been able to touch him on the whole Russian collusion business or anything else yet, any evidence of that that proves any of the allegations, and so now they're interviewing porn stars. That's pretty bad.
Okay, but what if the porn star is telling the truth, Cal?
Well, you know, it's true. It's like the stop clock is right twice a day. I mean, I don't know, but most people have already made their judgment on Donald Trump. Is he a family values guy? Obviously not. Are the policies that he has implemented working? 330,000 new jobs last month. Stock market last Friday up over 400 points. Consumer confidence up substantially. Biggest it's been since the ratings have been taken. So they're happy to forgive him the other stuff, apparently, as long as the policies are working.
Who's John McEntee, Marion?
Yeah, this is a really interesting development that just happened. John McEntee is another person from the White House that has just been fired. He was escorted from the White House this morning.
Sorry, that's 19, I believe, now in the Trump administration in the course of a year. 19 people have been fired from senior positions.
It's pretty chaotic. Now, the reason for his firing, though, may be quite good, but it does take a bizarre twist. He's Trump's body man. He's basically his personal assistant, the guy who's with Trump probably 20 hours a day, you know, who's beside him, who caters to every whim. He's been with him since the beginning, and apparently the two men were very close. It's now been reported, I'm not independently verifying this, that he's being investigated for serious financial crimes. And the Secret Service, I do know that this did happen, and this morning escorted him from the White House. He wasn't allowed to even collect his jacket, apparently. But this is the kicker, Matt. Where does he go? He's been sent to work on Trump's re-election campaign as a senior advisor, because of course if you've been accused or you're being investigated for serious financial crimes, where better place than to replace somebody like Paul Manafort? So it's actually bizarre, the fact that, as I say, he was escorted out by the Secret Service and now is going straight to work on Donald Trump's re-election campaign. Make of it what you will.
Yeah, what sort of people are ending up in that re-election campaign, Cal?
Well, we call it recycling here in Madden, and as an environmentalist you should be for that.
Okay, take me on to something else. Let's move away a little bit. Who is James Levine, Cal, and why is he in the news in the United States at present?
Well, he has been called, and I think correctly, the greatest conductor of the Metropolitan Opera since Leonard Bernstein. He was investigated by the New York Times, and they interviewed, the Metropolitan Opera authorities interviewed, over 70 people who claim that he had sexually harassed them over the years. He's a very, very big name in American opera, and in fact, world opera, very, very well known. And the story of his character demise is on the front page of the New York Times today. I don't know how you get lower than that. It's a very sad story, but it kind of covers the perspective now. We've got Harvey Weinstein on one end, and we've got Levine on this end. So all of the cultural things from one end to the other, from movies to the opera, have been covered in this sexual harassment thing. I don't know where politics falls, maybe in the middle somewhere.
To finish with you, Marion McCone, what's the row between Katy Perry and the nuns?
Yeah, this is another strange one. Basically, an order of nuns, the Immaculate Heart of the Blessed Virgin Mary, have this magnificent property in Los Feliz in Los Angeles. It's worth millions and millions of dollars, and a group of elderly nuns have been living there. Katy Perry decided she was going to buy it. She offered the Diocese of Los Angeles $15 million. Seems like a fair price, but the nuns didn't want to sell it to her for a number of reasons, not least of which is the fact that Katy Perry is a pop star who tends to be very scantily clad at times. They wanted to sell to somebody else for $44,000. They said it's their property. The diocese had no right to sell it out from under them. The diocese is saying, yes, we do. It's been tied up in court for 4 years, but a very sad thing happened last week. One of the sisters, an elderly nun who was 89 years old, collapsed and died in court, and she had just said to Katy Perry, please stop doing this, you're hurting people. And she collapsed and died shortly afterwards. You know, it's an uncomfortable situation for Katy Perry, who it seems just made a straight-up deal. She believed she was doing something, acting in good faith. The nuns, as I say, wanted to sell to a restaurateur who was going to pay $44,000 for it. It's not even clear she had that money, but who would have turned it into a boutique hotel, and apparently was going to take care of the nuns. No winners in this one.
Thank you very much, Marion McCone, and Cal Thomas from the United States.
The Last Word with Matt Cooper on Today FM.